Can an LGBTQ person be saved? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and I am thrilled that you've decided to join us today. We have what is sometimes a controversial subject, but I think you'll notice that Bob and Sean are going to handle it with grace and poise, exactly how they handle all questions. In fact, if you've got a question that you'd like Dr. Bob Wilkin or Sean Lazar to answer, you can send us a message to our email address at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And I'm Sean Lazar. We are taking your questions at radio@faithalone.org. For example, here are two really hard questions, Bob. Sexual practices in our culture are changing rapidly. Stuff I didn't even know existed in high school are now mainstream and legal, and it's in our face every single day.
Right.
Question is, how do Christians deal with that? Are we really going back to the way pagan cultures always were? Pagan cultures were full of crazy, from our perspective, sexual practices. And it's really forcing Christians, I think, to practice biblical separation whether or not they want to.
Right. It is having that benefit.
Well, here's two questions related to this issue. Question number one. I have a cousin who was married for over 30 years. He decided to become a female, and he has changed his name to a female name and legally changed his sex status to female. He didn't want a divorce, but his wife didn't want to stay married to a woman. He found a church that accepts transgender people and doesn't believe it's a sin. My question is this: can he be saved as a transgender man becoming a woman? It seems like the obvious answer would be yes, but he has no intention of repenting and doesn't feel or even think it is a sin. What do you guys say about that? That's a tough question about how to relate to a family member or a friend who identifies as transgender and they're going through this transformation.
Right, and he's not really asking about how we deal with them. He's really asking about, can the person be born again just like they are?
So that's a salvation question
right there.
And then question two, somewhat related to this, what do you think of attending my gay son's wedding? It's a sin not repented of. On the other hand, I'm going to support him. His mother, my ex-wife, will not go as she believes it encourages an obvious sin and encourages him into hell. I believe that both my son and his partner are misled by liberal ideas. I think we need to pray and encourage them into a relationship with our Savior, and our grace must be based on his promises. Any thoughts?
Okay, the second one is more in the area of how do we deal with a person in the LGBT community, especially
right,
if it comes to a gay marriage, although he does touch briefly on the salvation issue, too.
So these are very sensitive topics. People get extremely offended to one side or other. So let's be as gracious as possible. But we're going to represent our views as Christians as carefully as we can here.
Right.
So first of all, can a transgender person be saved?
And the answer would be yes, and that would be the whole alphabet of LGBTQA, you know, all of those. People are born again just as they are.
Right, by faith,
apart from works. So John 3:16 is true of the transgender person. It's true of the homosexual. It's true of the bisexual. It's true of the pedophile. It's true of
anybody. It's true of the person who gets angry. It's true of the person who is jealous all the time. We're all sinners who come to God with empty hands.
And there are lots of other sexual sin. There's premarital sex that heterosexuals do.
Pornography.
Pornography.
Lusting.
Adultery.
Dirty
all
jokes.
These things,
right? All those things are all sins.
John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him. It doesn't say anything about cleaning up your life, stopping being transgender, or having an intention to change your life. Remember, the first questioner said the person has no intention to change.
Right.
Well, that's not a condition either.
Right.
The only condition is believing in Jesus.
Now, you might have an intention to change, or you might not. But the question is, do you believe?
Right. And a person who doesn't believe in Jesus might intend to change.
Right.
But that doesn't make them born again. What makes you born again is believing in Jesus. Whether you intend to change, whether you don't, whether you actually change, whether you don't, the truth is, A person is born again by believing in Jesus, and that is not exclusive to people who are heterosexual.
So this transgender, they say in the question, this transgender person has found a church that accepts transgender people and doesn't believe it's a sin. I find that a lot of churches that say they believe in grace, whereas Paul defines grace as being saved by faith apart from works, what these other churches mean when they say grace, they talk about, well, we're going to show grace to you by saying your sin is not actually a sin. Or we're going to show grace to you by pretending that everyone's doing okay, everyone's all right.
Now, that's a great point, Sean. That's the other extreme.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying this isn't sin. Of course it's sin.
Right.
What we're saying is sin has been taken care of at the cross.
Right.
Jesus removed the sin barrier. John 1:29, 1 John 2:2, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for us only, but for the whole world, sins of the whole world. So Jesus has taken care of the sin problem, and our sin doesn't keep us from being born again. What keeps us from being born again is unbelief.
And by the way, I wonder, with the transgender issue, we're talking about sin, but I have to wonder if that's really like a mental illness. You know?
Well, I do think it is a mental illness, and I think homosexuality is a mental illness, and I think transgenderism is a form of homosexuality. In other words, if this person is a man who's attracted to men, but he feels like the best way to be attracted to men is to call himself a woman.
Right, okay. I see
it seems
saying.
To me that's a form of homosexuality. But regardless of whatever it is, I do agree it is a form of mental illness. And as far as how culpable the person is, you know, I would say they are culpable because the person has made a choice to do this. Now, I realize that's against the flow of the LGBT idea that God made me this way. Of course, it's awful hard to argue that for questioner number one, because for 30 years he identified as a male, not just for 30 years, for 30 years of marriage.
Right.
In later life, he's changing to female.
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to argue that he was born transgender.
So the bottom line there is, anyone can be saved by simply believing in Jesus, and being transgender or being confused about that is no more a barrier to salvation than any other sin, you know.
That's exactly right. Other than sometimes they may think they can't be saved because they're not good enough.
I mean, the thing
and
that,
then you need to go over the grace issue
right.
with them.
And the thing that worries me is going to a church that is accepting of transgender people, to me, is probably a sign that they don't know what the gospel is. They're probably still thinking it's salvation by works, but transgenderism is not a barrier to salvation by works because it's not a sin. That's probably what they're thinking.
Exactly, and that's why it's really dangerous to go to a liberal church, because they're going to be proclaiming some sort of a false saving message.
Right.
But regardless, it would be nice for this person to hear the free gift of everlasting life in a conservative church.
Right.
And this ties in with the second question,
yeah,
too, because the X is saying, well, these people are on their way to hell.
So the second question is about whether or not you should attend a gay son's wedding, but this could just be a gay friend or a gay relative. Should a believer do that? What do you think?
Well, the scriptures don't exactly answer this question. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 11 is about as close as we get to answering that question. I wondered if you could read that, Sean. 1 Corinthians 5:11.
But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Now, this is what some people would call the biblical doctrine of separation, where as part of our own discipleship, we have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We have to avoid certain activities. And in this case, we're supposed to not eat with people who identify as believers who are practicing these things.
Right. And I would say that looks primarily at the Lord's Supper, that we wouldn't allow these people at the love feast or the Lord's Supper. But it probably also applies socially, at least for people who aren't in your immediate family. But verses 12 and 13 go on to say, but those who are outside, that is unbelievers, well, of course you're going to have interaction with those people, or else you'd be leaving the world. It's the believers that we're going to separate from. So if the question is, if my son is a believer and he has decided to marry another man, would I go to the wedding? I would say 1 Corinthians 5:11 would suggest probably not.
Yeah.
But even there, it's not crystal clear.
Well, I would say there's two lines of separation there. One, there's separation from the person, the homosexual person who wants to get married. But then there's also separation from the church. I would never attend a church that believed that's okay, that is that kind of liberal, or that a church that's in rebellion against God like that. I would have to separate from them, I think.
Right. But if they're unbelievers, two unbelievers that are gay that want to marry, well, it seems to me the father or the mother, that would be up to them what they want to do. In my opinion, I wouldn't be comfortable whether they were believers or unbelievers going, because I would be tacitly approving.
Right.
But
on
the other hand, I can see how someone would say, no, I'm not approving of it, and I'm going to tell them up front I don't approve of it, but since I love them and want an ongoing contact with them, I'm going to go.
So a sub-question to that, this questioner says, his mother, my ex-wife, will not go. She believes that encourages an obvious sin and encourages him into hell. What we would say to that is what we said before. Being homosexual or any other type of sin isn't a barrier to salvation. So if this young man has believed in Jesus for eternal life, he has that no matter who he quote-unquote marries. However, if he is not a believer, you don't want to encourage an unbeliever in practices that will harden them against the Lord, I think.
Well, I think so. And what you could do is you could use this as an opportunity to evangelize and say, look, I want you to know Jesus says if you believe in him, you have eternal life, and this is unconditional. What you're doing is sin, but that's not the issue in terms of having everlasting life. And then you might say, I'm not going to be going to your wedding, but not because I don't love you and not because I don't accept you. I do. It's just I don't approve of this. But I will continue to love you the rest of your life. I think this is a tough issue. Some of you are probably facing this issue and you need to pray about it. You're going to have to evaluate texts like 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 13.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what our emotional response to false doctrine ought to be. You're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.